we discover that our essential nature is something totally different from either the body or the mind, and we seem to be existing in the state of deep sleep, minus the relationship with body and mind. And on a further probing into the implications of the memory that follows after sleep, we discovered that we ought to have existed in the state of deep sleep also as consciousness only, though for some important reason we were not aware that we were such a thing. The second thing that we discovered was this consciousness, which in Sanskrit is known as the Atma, cannot be inside the body only. I slept, I had consciousness. Such statements may suggest that this I is inside this body. This is the primitive, untutored feeling that may arise in everybody's mind, bereft of proper investigation into the subtlety of the situation. Consciousness cannot be locked up inside the body. I mentioned to you as the second point involved hearing that if the consciousness is inside the body only, it cannot know that there is a world outside. Because who is to know that there is a world unless the consciousness itself is to be aware of it? And it cannot know it because it is inside, like a prisoner within the walls of this body. But the fact that we can know even the stars so high up above in the heaven, we can see the vast space and endless structure of things, that we can have a consciousness of such an immensity should impliedly mean that this thought, the mind or consciousness cannot really be inside this body only. You can touch the stars by your thought, and actually you are doing that. Without that, you would not know that there are stars. So this was the second implication of our study. Firstly, it was that our essential nature is consciousness. Secondly, this consciousness is not inside the body, it is as immense and large as the whole creation itself. You will be surprised to know where you are actually sitting in this great circumstance of the unlimitedness of that which seems to be inside you. Prajapati Brahma, the creator, once declared, as we have it in the Upanishad, Esha Atma Apahata Papma Vijaro Vimrityuho Vishoko Vijighatso Vipasaha Satyakamaha Satyasankalpaha So Nveshtavya Sa Vijignasitavya Sa Sarvan Kamanapanodi Sarvan Salvakan Yastam Atmanam Manuvidya Vijanaviti. In the constituent assembly of Brahma, he proclaimed loudly before all, there is a thing called Atman, which is deathless, all-pervading, immortal, pervading all the worlds and all realms of being. Whoever knows this, he is the master of all the worlds and has the instantaneous capacity to fulfill all his desires, and there is nothing else that he wants afterwards. this proclamation that he made in the assembly was published in all the newspapers of the world. Everybody started reading this new proclamation. See what this wonderful thing he is declaring. There is such a thing called the Atman. If you know it, there is nothing else that you should know. The whole world is under your control. And all your desires are fulfilled instantaneously. Oh, this is what the great Prajapati Brahma declared. We must know it. Then we shall have it. Let us know. The gods and the asuras, devas and demons, both heard this. Very good. We must know this. Oh, let us be masters. Why not? How will you know? We shall go to the Prajapati Brahma and prostrate ourselves and request him to teach us what is this Atma. All the gods assembled and declared, Indra will be our representative. He will go and learn this art and then come and communicate the same to every one of us. The demons also sent one representative. He was called Virochana. He also go and know this Atma so that we become masters of everything. Indra and Virochana representing two camps opposite to each other went to the great creator Brahma and prostrated themselves. How come? Indra, Virochana, what do you want? Great master, you made this declaration in the assembly and you said there is Atman, it is everywhere. If you know this, you have everything. Please teach us this Atman. Observe self-control for 32 years and then come to me. Well, alright. You are prepared to undergo any suffering. If you know that you are going to get Nobel Prize after that and you are going to get a windfall of a large income, let us undergo suffering, walk in the hot sun up to Delhi, provided the telegram has come and your prize is to be distributed in the Rashtrapati Bhavan, you walk. Because of bulk, there is no vehicle also. You have to walk only and you will walk. Any suffering is alright, provided that wonderful thing is coming. So, Indra and Virochana observed intense hostility, tapasya for 32 years, hoping that something will come. They went back to Prajapati. 32 years of self-control. They have observed our master, please tell us the Atman. Go. See yourself in a pot of water and see what is there. You look at the water and see what you see in that water. That which you see is the Atman. Oh, I see, so simple. They brought water and put in a pan and looked at one only, themselves are there. This body, head to foot, was seen reflected in the water. So this is Atman. This head to foot, 6 foot frame, this is Atman. Very simple matter. Atman is known now. Indra and Virochana both thought that they have gained what they wanted. Virochana went to the demons and declared, oh wonderful, this is Atman. And feed this Atman, this body. And the philosophy is, eat, drink and be merry. The Atman wants nothing else. Physical consciousness, material enjoyment and comfort of the body. Wonderful, beautiful. So these followers of Virochana became what we call materialists, believers in the body and material substances and the satisfaction of all things connected with the instincts of the sense-ridden physical body. Indra also felt that, oh okay, this is what we have learned after 32 years of self-control. He went away. On the way, he had a doubt which never occurred to Virochana, came to the mind of Indra. And Jagati Brahma said, what I see in the water is the Atman. And he said, it is deathless, immortal, all pervading. But this does not look like that. It is just me, this body, and it is not all pervading. It cannot be deathless also, it is going to perish. The mortal frame cannot continue for a long time. Oh no, something is wrong. I don't think it is all right. Halfway he went back to Prajapati. With prostration, Brahma said, Indra, how? You have come back? You weren't satisfied? What is the matter? So, great master, there is some difficulty. I don't feel quite all right in accepting that this thing which I saw in reflected in water in me as Atman. You said Atman is all-pervading, immortal, deathless. But this body that I saw in the reflection of the water is not all-pervading and it is not deathless. So there is something wrong in this thing that I heard from you. I don't feel happy and I require rectification. Please tell me the true Atman. I say, go, observe self-control for another 32 years. All right, I will observe self-control for another 32 years. He came back. Virochana did not come back because he was fully satisfied. But Indra had doubts. So he came second time. Great master, I have come after second round of 32 years of self-control. Please tell me the Atman. Do you know that you are seeing something in dream? That is Atman. Go. Now I have improved upon the concept of the self. Because the great master said that Guru's order, he obeyed and went, and halfway doubt again. So no, this is not alright. What is there in dream? It is just like waking only. In dream also there is hunger and thirst, and physical death also can be experienced. One can fall from the tree and break one's legs and one die also in dream. This is no good, he said. This Atman is perishable. Something wrong in this doctrine. Again he went back and prostrated himself before Brahma. Indra, again you have come. Oh Master, something is wrong with this doctrine. What is the use of this thing that I see in dream? It is as perishable, nonsensical, meaningless, absurd, and not worth anything as it is the case in what I see in the waking condition. Alright, go. Observe self-control for another 32 years. So 32, three times. 96 years of self-control. Alright, he underwent that suffering, went back. Please teach me the Atman that is all-pervading, by knowing which I can have everything. Do you know that you are in deep sleep, observing, seeing something and experiencing something? Yes, yes, he said, I am experiencing something in deep sleep. That is the Atman. Go. Okay. Indra went on halfway again, he had doubt. No, this is okay, no good. This sleep Atman is no good. Because it is as if he is dead. This immortal Atman is dead in deep sleep. He is annihilated. His existence is abolished. He knows nothing. He is in a state of idiocy, negativity. No, no. Immortal, deathless, all bliss, said the Prajapati Brahma. But what is the condition of this that I experience in deep sleep? No, no, there is something wrong here. Again, Indra went back to the Prajapati Master. Oh, Indra, again you have come. Something wrong, Master. I don't see any worth in that which I experience in the state of deep sleep. Because it is complete negation of all values. And that can be called the Atman. Where is the point in it? Brahma said, okay, go again and observe 5 years of self-control and control. He was into consider it this time. Instead of 32, he said 5. So 101 years of self-control. Very difficult situation in you. What is the self-control going on, repeating the same thing again and again, and we can't understand what is it that they underwent, what austerity, what kind of tapasya, we can't understand. With all that tapasya, they got nothing finally, except some kind of tentative definition, which meant nothing in the end. After 101 years of self-control, Indra goes to Prajapati. Please tell me the art. Bhagavan martyam va idam shariram, said Prajapati to Indra. O ruler of the gods, Bhagavan Indra, all this formation is perishable. That which you observe through the sense organs as a positive object of perception, whether in waking or dream, cannot be the Atman, because it has a beginning and an end. It is destructible. Atman is deathless. But why not consider the state of deep sleep as the Atman? Because it does not look like something that is observed as a perishable object, but it is an annihilation of consciousness. There are two conditions which are very important here for us to note. Firstly, that which you see with your eyes is not the Atman. That which you experience through the sense organs, or even by the mind conditioned by the sense organs, as is the case in waking and in dream, cannot be regarded as the Atman. So first point is, anything that is outside, externalized, projected in terms of the sense organs, whether in waking or dream, cannot be the Atman, because that which is external cannot be universal. So waking and dream conditions are not the Atman. Why not sleep? What is wrong with it? The other condition of the Atman is, it is pure self-consciousness. It knows that it is, I am what I am. This consciousness is absent in the state of sleep. So the condition of the experience of the Atman is, on the one hand, it should not be externalized as an object of sense organs or even thought process. On the other hand, it should not be an annihilation of awareness. Existence minus awareness is equal to no existence. Like wealth minus the consciousness of it is no wealth at all. A rich person, without knowing that he is rich, cannot be regarded as rich. So consciousness is the conditioning, ruling factor in all our experience. But as it has been pointed out, it cannot be externalized. Both in waking and dream, the Atman seems to be externalized, dissected into the seer and the seen. There is a partitioned existence of the Atman as it were, which is a total negation of the true nature of the Atman. Neither in the waking, nor in dream, nor in sleep can you know the Atman. What other experience do you have in this world? You are either awake, or you are dreaming, or you are sleeping. There is no fourth condition. And if all these three states are worthless instruments for the purpose of the knowledge of the Atman, what other means can you employ in knowing the Atman? Very difficult. I have no means of knowing it. All my apparatus has been exhausted. I have no further ammunition with me to tackle this situation. What is it? This particular I am is nothing but a bundle of experiences in waking, dream and sleep. And you say all these three states are useless for the purpose of the knowledge of the Atman because of the defects that are very clearly observed in all these three states. I have no other experience in this world. If the three states which are my property, my nature are incapable of the knowledge of the Atman as it is, I have no means of knowing the Atman. Don't talk about it. The difficulty of knowing the Atman is here presented before us. Great wonder. Here is a wonder before you. You have to know it and yet you have no way of knowing it. You are in a serious predicament. In this connection, I shall narrate to you an anecdote which appears in the Kathopanishad. Nachiketas, a great seeker like you all people, went to the great master of wisdom Yama, and according to the story, he was offered three boons. Ask for the boon. First boon. The great Yamaraj, master of knowledge, told the boy seeker Nachiketas, I have come to you, great master, from the mortal world of an experience which is not happy in any way. In the world, there are no friends really speaking. Anyone who is a friend today can be an enemy tomorrow. That which is my possession today, tomorrow it may not be my possession. Today this person is, this is the object of my possession, my property, tomorrow the same thing is the property of somebody else. Nobody can be trusted in this world. Anybody is friend, anybody is enemy. Not only that, everything is perishable. Now I have come to you at the gates of the doors of Yama, when I go back, please bless me with this first boon that I ask, that all shall be well with me in the world. I shall not be victim of love and hatred of anyone, and I shall be received as one with the whole of the world. In this world, nobody can love you like that. Everybody should treat you as themselves. It is a great thing that you have asked. Let the whole world treat me as itself, so that I have perfect security and no kind of difficulty of any kind, no suspicion, no worry. A life which is not distraught with agony and suffering of any kind, may that be granted to me as the first boon. Take it. In 1 second it is offered. When you go back, you will be received by the whole world as its own friend. An unthinkable gift, of course. My dear boy, ask for the second boon. I hear that gods in heaven have no sorrow of any kind. They are bereft of the turmoils of physical existence as is experienced by people. They are possessors of the knowledge of the wealth of the whole creation. Let me be also blessed with this boon of a universal perception of things. In Sanskrit, this experience is sometimes called Vaishvanara. Take it. In one instance, the wonderful boon was offered. What kind of thing is given? Do you know what he has given? Kamasyaptim jagatah pradeshtham Trator Anandam Abhayasya Bharam. Oh, it is the soul of the world. The joy which is inexpressible by any thought of mortal. The universal experience of the possession of everything in space and time. Such a Vaishwanara knowledge I have given you in one instant. Take. Master, you are very kind. Now ask for the third. Nachiketa, threw a bombshell on the head of this great guru by saying, tell me, what happens to the soul when it is rid of this body? No, he said, don't talk. And he said, boy, you are a good guy, go back, and you are utter under foolish things like that, and you should not put this question, even the gods cannot answer this question. When you are rid of mortal encasement, what happens to the soul? What happens to your consciousness when it is free from the shackles of body? You are asking such a question. Not even the gods can answer this question. Go back. I am sorry that I have asked you to request for a third boon. I should not have told. Don't bury me. Go. No, I cannot go like that. He said, you have asked me. You told me that you will give me three boons. And I am now asking for third, you must give me. No, he said. I am very sorry that I said this. What is the trouble? Gods also cannot answer this question as to what happens to consciousness when it is rid of mortal encasement. Nachiketa said, great master, you are saying that nobody knows the answer to this question. I know therefore that you know the answer. So after having seen a person like you, which fool can go back without getting this boon? I tell you, you should not persist in this question. I give you everything. I give you the longest life, which will be a duration as lengthy as the persistence of the universe itself. All the joys conceivable, all wealth, longest life, the whole earth is your property. You are the emperor of all things. I give you this boon, but this question you should not put. Now you may wonder, what is wrong with this question? Why he is hesitating to answer this question? Actually, the question was simple. The Nachiketas wanted to know what is this Atman, as was the case with Indra and others. They wanted to know the Atman. They had some tentative answers which were not satisfying. Same is the case with Nachiketas. He would not give the answer. Why did he not give the answer? What would he have lost if he had given the answer? Because question and answer are processes which cannot apply to the realm of the Atman. The Atman is the knower bereft of any knowable object external to you. You can discuss logically, scientifically, methodologically, philosophically, anything which is an object of reasoning, understanding. How could you convert the Atman into an object of reasoning? Because it is at the back of the very process of reasoning. Reason cannot operate until and unless the Atman is already there behind the reasoning process. So you are trying to climb on your own shoulder by asking question regarding the Atman as to what it is. Who is to put the question? Because the questioner has the Atman behind him. This is the reason why no question can be raised regarding it. That is to say, no answer can be given to this question. Then what is all this effort? if you have no means of knowing the Atman, because it is the knower itself, it is the seer behind all the process of seeing, it is not an object that can be investigated into by any available means of knowledge. Perception, inference and all these are no use as instruments of knowing this Atman, because it is prior to the very operation of the faculties of perception, inference, etc. Yet you have to know the Atman. Here is a contradiction in here. Ashcharya Bhakta Kushalo said Nata, Ashcharya Bhagavad Gita as well as the Kathopanishad also said, to think this is a wonder. To hear this being spoken is a wonder. Blessed is the person who can speak. Blessed is the person who can listen to questions and discussions of this kind. You cannot know it and yet you have to know it. Here is a peculiar contradiction. This contradiction can be solved only if you know what Indra did for 101 years by way of what is known as self-control. Self-control is the means of knowing the Atman, which in other ways cannot be known. It is a returning of yourself to yourself. At present, are you not in yourself? You may put a question. What is the meaning of saying returning of myself to myself? I am already myself. I am Mr. So-and-so sitting here. So I am myself only. What is returning? You are actually not in yourself at the present moment. You are outside. When you are looking at the tree, you have become the tree. A consciousness takes the form of a modified psychic operation called vritti in Sanskrit, which is the shape of the object which you look at, which you hear, which you taste, which you smell and the like. What are you doing whole day? Either you are seeing something or smelling something or hearing something or touching something or tasting something. Other than these five activities, what other things are you doing in this world? Now in all these activities of yours, which are the operations of the five sense organs, you have gone out of yourself. You, the so-called Atman or the Self, have become other than what you are. Do you know what it means to be other than one's own self? Can you imagine psychoanalytically, if you have studied this subject, what it is to be aberrant in regard to one's own self? I am not myself. Sometimes people say in a mood, I am now not myself. In an inebriated condition, a person is not in himself or herself. When you are angry beyond the comprehension, you are not in yourself. When you are filled with desire beyond expression for something, you are not in your own self. Every day we are experiencing this condition. There is not a moment of time when we are in ourselves. Because always you are seeing something or hearing something and contacting something or the other in some way or the other, so that there is a perpetual movement of yourself out of yourself into an objective condition which you call perception. In all perception you are losing yourself. That is why your professor of Patanjali Yoga Sutras will tell you that every modification of the mind is an obstacle to the knowledge of the self. Yoga Sitta Vritti Nirodha Yada Drashtu Swarupe Avasthanam. You can find yourself in yourself only when the vritti or the modification of the mind in terms of the perception or cognition of things ceases. This is self-control which Indrapara practiced for 101 years. Now, in this self-alienation that is taking place perpetually in ourselves, we are becoming weaker and weaker every day. Bodily we are weak, mentally we are weak, in your reasoning capacity also you are weak. In every respect you are a helpless person in this world, because the more you are conscious of outside things and the more you are concerned with those things also, not merely conscious, the worse for you. Nothing can be worse than that. There are two ways of perception. I am not talking to you on Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, but I am making a reference to the themes discussed by Patanjali in this context. There are two ways of modification known as vrittis, which are akleta and klishta, non-painful operations of the mind and painful operations of the mind. A general consciousness that there is a tree does not cause any pain to you, because there are so many trees in the forest, what does it matter to you? Nevertheless, a modification of the mind has taken place in the process of the knowledge of the existence of the tree. But there is another thing. Suppose it is a tree in your own garden which you have tended properly, it is a mango tree or a rose plant, it is mine, you are attached to it. Here is the source of pain also. If somebody plucks it, you are very annoyed. If somebody cuts a tree far off in a forest, you don't bother, because it is not your concern. But if it is your tree, in your garden, you cannot pluck one plant. So painful vrittis and non-painful vrittis are two types of operation taking place in our mind, and we are subject to both of them. You are not merely allowing yourself to be transported away from yourself to the objects of perception, you are making the matter worse by clinging to them or hating them. The process of general perception is studied in what you call the subject of general psychology in schools and colleges. The process you undergo in the perception embedded with emotional like and dislike, this is studied in abnormal psychology. Especially in psychoanalysis, this has been studied into the in-depth structure. Now, can you think of yourself, what kind of persons you are? Are you subject to all these limitations and troubles? Certainly, the whole life is a bundle of this great grief that has come upon us in being compelled to be other than what we are every moment of time. What a kind of life we are living in this world. Therefore, Prajapati said, 101 years of self-control. Don't talk to me like that. Know the Atman. You cannot know it. Yama said, go away from here. You take the whole world, but don't talk about this matter, because what is the use of talking about the thing which is implied in the very question that you are asking, and nothing can be done about it as long as you are a person. You have to be other than an ordinary person in order to be a true seeker of the Atman. A person is one who thinks in terms of sense organs, either with love and hatred or otherwise, and we are nothing but that, a jumble of these operations. We are a psychic chaos rather than a stable individuality. Therefore, none in the world can be always happy. Even on a single day, continuously for 24 hours, one cannot be secure. You have anxieties of any kind. Next moment, you do not know what will happen to you. Even within your family, you are not safe. You are suspect about the members of the family themselves. And what about the other relations far away in the distant regions? Whole life is spent in this manner. Consciously felt agony and unconsciously felt agony. We have got two kinds of agonies. Something is worrying inside, of which consciously you are not aware. That is the case with everybody. But in certain cases you are aware also what the other is. A yoga seeker, a seeker on the spiritual path should be a very good psychologist. You must be a master of the knowledge of your own mind. There is no use of studying psychology for teaching it in the college. You must know your mind first, how it is operating. At a particular moment of your mood or whim and fancy, what happens to your mind? Why are you thinking at this moment in this manner? What has happened to you? You will say somebody is doing something, but is it true that somebody is doing something, or you are doing something to yourself without knowing what is happening to you? Self-control is the restraint of the activity of consciousness moving in terms of the sense organs. Self-control does not mean closing the eyes and chanting something, because you may close the physical eye, but the conscious eye will operate. It is not the physical organ of sense that is troubling you, the consciousness that is moving through the aperture of the sense organs, that is the source. Self-control is the restraint of the operation of consciousness along the sign, along the lines of what is other than pure selfhood. All the things of the world are non-self, in the sense they cannot be considered yourself. The other people are not yourself. The trees and mountains are not yourself. Nothing is yourself. You are simply sitting identical with your little physical frame, and as if all other things are null and void in respect of yourself. Even to study the nature of self-control, you have to be at the feet of a master for years. Knowing Atman is a different subject altogether. That is why Yamaraj told Nachiketa to go away from here and don't worry me unnecessarily about this matter. It cannot be known. Anyway, the answer was given to him later on a severe testing which Yama imposed upon Nachiketa, which was the case with Indra also, who finally understood the transcendent nature of the Atman together with this immanence. While in the state of deep sleep, the Atman is immanent, hiddenly present in ourselves. Really, it is above the condition of sleep. The philosophy of India is a transcendental immanentism. It is not any kind of ism that you are acquainted with in Western thought. It is not pantheism, it is not deism, it is not atheism, it is not any kind of ism. It is impossible to conceive it, because while accepting that the Atman is everywhere, you also accept that it is not anywhere in this world. A transcendentality together with that immanence is inconceivable to the ordinary mind. So God is in the world and yet He is not in the world. So both these aspects of the ultimate reality have to be borne in our mind before, even when we try to practice self-control. So yoga practice, spiritual life, understanding yourself, the purpose for which you have come to this ashram, is an arduous task. You have to live for it and die for it. And it is a dedication till the end of your life. It is not something to be learned in 2 months and then forgot afterwards and go do whatever you like. This is not to be learned for a period of time. It is not like a semester. It is not a period for some time in a college or university. It is a discipline of life. A restraint of yourself from self-aberration or alienation, which you cannot understand by reading a book, but you have to be purified at the feet of a master whose blessings are your solace, and perhaps the Almighty Himself will bless you if your heart is sincere. Great is the subject. That is why Prajapati had to inflict so much of suffering over Indra, and Yama had to turn the boy out and giving no answer to him. This is the case with all great masters. They will not tell you anything for years together, though they will bless you one day or the other. It is the time is up. Hari Om Tat Sat.